Well, I guess that really is the bottom line, isn't it? He is worthy. He's trustworthy. Well, it's a beautiful day to worship the Lord. When Carol read those scriptures from the New Testament, you know that's the only place in Scripture, in John 4, 23 and 24, where God seeks something from His people. He seeks our worship. So that's what we've come to do this morning. I shared on Friday night that my eagerness to see Glen Eyrie was because of this little book, 7 Minutes with God, and I forgot to pick one up in the bookstore yesterday, and I was in the dining room this morning. I thought breakfast was at 7, and I was there a little early, and one of the gentlemen that led the tour, and I was sharing that, I had wanted to pick up a 7 Minutes with God, and he went and got me one this morning, and this is what it says about where 7 Minutes with God is a way to have your devotions. And that is the way I started out as a brand new Christian, 7 Minutes with God. And I don't know whether I can remember what it is. I think it's listed in here. Here it is. A half-minute prayer for guidance, 4 minutes reading the Word, 2.5 minutes in prayer. And that includes adoration, praise to God, confession of known sin, thanksgiving to God for what He's given us, and then supplication. That's prayer for yourself and prayer for others. And under adoration, this is what it says. This is the purest kind of prayer because it's all of God. There's nothing in it for you. You don't barge into the presence of royalty. You begin with a proper salutation to worship Him. Tell the Lord that you love Him. Reflect on His greatness, His power, His majesty, and sovereignty. Isn't that neat? So that's really special. Well, this is my absolute favorite subject, and I don't feel qualified, and I know you should never apologize, but we cannot really describe God because He calls Himself indescribable. But we can take from the Scripture the words that He uses to describe Himself and turn those words back to state who He is. And that's what I want us to do this morning. And I thought we'd take a walk through the Scriptures to do that. You'll want your pink sheets. It says, who is God, our loving Heavenly Father and our sovereign reigning ruler of the universe? Looks like this. By the way, I have with me about 6 newsletters, which are free, and if you'd like, no one is automatically on the Freedom in Christ mailing list. If you'd like one, they're here for your you can have them, and just a couple of the brochures I have with me, and you're welcome to have those. This is a quote from A.W. Tozer. Is that in focus this morning? Good. Believers have lost the concept of the majesty of God. With our low view of God has come the further loss of religious awe and consciousness of the divine presence. We have lost our spirit of worship and our ability to withdraw inwardly to meet God in adoring silence. Be still and know that I am God means next to nothing to the self-confident and bustling worshiper in this 20th century. And that is true. Very few really know how to worship God. Since that board isn't available, maybe I'll just use this here. Why don't we worship? Okay, number one, we don't know who He is. To worship Him, we have to know who He is. Number two, we don't realize the urgency of praise. If God is seeking that, Is that not, should that not be our first response to him, is to worship him? And number three, we don't realize that there is a value and a benefit to us. In Psalm 22, verse 3, we're told in the King James Version that God inhabits the praises of his people. And I don't think I brought this out yesterday in the workshop on who Satan is and his tactics. But when you're in a hard place and you choose, it's, again, as we forgive by our will, we don't do it by our feelings, we also worship by our will and not because of our feelings. If you don't feel like it, we need to worship more then than even when we do feel like it. And so when we put up this spirit of praise, Satan can't penetrate that. So if you feel like you've, you know, just hit rock bottom or whatever situation you're in that's very difficult, if you're willing to sit down and take some of these scriptures that we're going to cover this morning and just repeat who God is back to him and then whatever other, you know, words that God gives you to praise him, Satan can't penetrate that. And it will lift your spirit and it will do something for you that nothing else can really do. And it's good to begin a notebook. When I first began this, I just grabbed a scrap piece of paper. I didn't realize the journey I was starting on. It was a used sheet, and I just grabbed it and began writing down every word that I could think that would describe God. And then I've added to that notebook, and I would have brought it with me, except it's gotten quite thick. And every once in a while, from time to time, I will go back and I will just sit down and I'll read through that notebook of words that describe God. And one time I did a study through the entire scriptures using just the name of God, what God calls himself. And in fact, the year that I read the Bible through for that particular year, that was the emphasis. I kept an eye out for every time God's name is mentioned in some fashion. And it's very extensive in the scripture. And so you can go back to something like that and read through it and worship the Lord. And I would really recommend that you do that. And one thing I didn't think to do when I started it was when you found a scripture, to write down where you found it. After I realized what I hadn't done, then I began doing it. And I was sorry I hadn't done it all along. And even your hymns on Sunday morning, you will find, as you zero in on God's character and his attributes in your own private devotional time, the hymns and the singing in church will be enhanced tremendously. You will zero in on God's character even in a more powerful way. So I want to encourage you to do that. And another reason we don't do it is we just don't take the time. And of course, that's true for confession. It's true for Thanksgiving. It's true for actual prayer time. It's just not a high priority. I mean, if it's a high priority in our lives, we do it. And another reason is unconfessed sin. When I was brand new as a Christian, I thought, well, I must confess my sin before I do the ACTS, A for Adoration, C for Confession, T for Thanksgiving, and S for Supplication. So I always thought I had to put the C first. Well, after I had done that for quite a period of time, I decided God knows already that I'm going to get down to the C part. So I start with the Adoration now, go into the Confession, and then the Thanksgiving, and then the Supplication. So whatever order, it's, you know, very, very acceptable to God. All right, just a few comments on who God is not. God is not like our earthly father. Now, your earthly father may have been a wonderful and grand godly man, but then again, he may have failed you terribly. Your mother and dad may not even have been married. And so we need to realize that God the Father, our loving heavenly father, is not like our earthly father. God is not limited. He is not limited. There's not anything he cannot do. And he is not helpless or weak or without strength. He's strong and powerful and full of glory. And we're told back in Peter, he is majestic glory. He's not absent. He's always present. And he doesn't change. He's changeless. Same yesterday, today, and forever from Hebrews 13. And he's not to be doubted. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11:6. And he's really not to be questioned why, unless our questioning is, Lord, what is it that you want to teach me in this? So he's not to be questioned. He is the sovereign, reigning ruler of the universe. And one of the phrases that you sang it on Sunday night, or on Friday night, and I'm so glad you sang it again this morning, the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns, regardless of what you and I are doing. It may be raining in our life, but the Lord reigns. He reigns. And that phrase kept going through my mind all weekend, and I just thank you so much. Your music has really ministered to me, and I'm sure it has to everybody. And then he's not to be ignored. I mean, when I walked out of the dorm where we're sleeping, and I thought, the beauty of God's creation makes your heart just gravitate to the Lord, to worship in the beauty of his creation. You and I demand to be heard. God whispers in a small, quiet voice. But in our pain, he shouts. And so we hear him best when we're in a hard place. We're told that through Christ, in Hebrews 13:15, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. So this, how do we do it? We do it through Christ. To whom do we do it? To him. Who is to do it? Let us, believers. When are we to do it? Continually. And what are we to do? We are to give thanks to his name. And you know, really, when you have a trial and a problem, when you can get around to saying, Father, I thank you for this, and you can name it, that you have allowed it for a reason, that there's a lifting in your spirit, and you can begin to move on and work through the path to the end of the tunnel, into the fullness of light in regards to that hard path. And you know, everybody has one or more hard paths, so we're not alone in that. Psalm 48, great is the Lord, that is who he is, and greatly to be praised. God has made known, has made himself known as his stronghold. As is thy name, O God, so is thy praise to the ends of the earth. Psalm 104, bless the Lord, O my soul. That's what we're to do. We're to bless the Lord. And your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. So you put the totality of your personality that you're able to into the worship. Thou art clothed, O Lord my God, thou art very great. That's who he is. Thou art clothed with splendor and majesty. Revelation 15:3. They sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works. That's what he's done. O Lord God, the Almighty, righteous and true are thy ways, thou God of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou alone art holy. For all the nations will come and worship before thee, for thy righteous acts have been revealed. As I'm reading through, I'm not going to take the time to point out who God is and what he's done, because all of these are referring to who he is, what he's done, and what our response is to be to him. Revelation 4:8, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come. Revelation 4:11, worthy art thou, the reason to worship, our Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor. For thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they existed and were created. Worthy is the Lamb, who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And you may be saying, well, you know, I don't know how to worship him. Just take the scriptures and just say, Lord, I praise you because this is who you are, and then read the scripture and go on to the next one and read the scripture. Lamentations 3, this was referred to yesterday, 22 and 23. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. God's compassion is new for you this morning and for me. Great is thy faithfulness. God is the faithfulness of our lives. Isaiah 9:6, his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And this scripture, which is one of my very, very favorites, 1 Chronicles 29:10 through 13. This was, David had gathered all the ingredients to build the beautiful temple. God had said, you're a man of war, bloodshed, you cannot build the temple. Your son will build the temple. But in the meantime, David gathered all the beautiful things to put in the temple. And David bled the temple, and they were ready to do this. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, blessed art thou, O Lord God of our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, indeed everything that is in the heavens and the earth. Thine is the dominion, O Lord, and thou dost exalt thyself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou dost rule over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and it lies in thy hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our Father, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. And I would really encourage you to commit that to memory. And as you walk and jog or whatever you do, you know, that can run through your mind and you can just do that verbally. I used to walk in the dark at night, the length of the street. I was, you know, you have to be careful. And, of course, California, really have to be careful. So I used to just walk the length of our block, and I knew where the bushes were. If a car came, I could, you know, pop behind a bush or whatever, and I would walk it five times, and that would make a mile. And I used to repeat this until I could memorize it and say that and look up at the sky at night. And it really was a wonderful, wonderful, just a time of worship to the Lord. Ask the Lord to give you a hunger and thirst for who he is and for the capacity to worship and to praise him for the beauty of his character. If you'd like to turn to Exodus 15, the Israelites had just come through the Red Sea. They had seen that tremendous miracle. And our theme this weekend is to see the miracle in the mirror. Well, we now have seen through what we've looked at this weekend that the miracle takes place the inside out. As we behold the beauty and the glory of the Lord, then the glory of the Lord is somehow, through his marvelous power and grace, internalized and manifested in our personalities and our characters. And when we're least suspecting it, the grace of the Lord will flow through us to someone else, and in some way God will energize them to be moved forward in their growth pattern. And that's what we all want. We want our lives to have eternal value. So this is the praise that they sang after they'd come through this horrendous experience. They came up to the Red Sea. The mountains were to the sides. The Egyptians were behind them. There was no way out. It was an impossible situation. And then God provided the miracle path of deliverance there. And, of course, that's God's way. Deliverance through Jesus Christ, deliverance through the forgiveness of sins, deliverance through his shed blood. And so this is their response. And I'm just going to pick out a few of the verses. And you might want to make note of these, and you can go back and praise the Lord for who he is. In verse 2, you see their will. You do it with your will. I will sing to the Lord, for he, this is why, for he is highly exalted. The horse and the rider, he's hurled into the sea. And maybe you have a horse and a rider that needs to be hurled into the sea. And you can praise this as a praise to God that he will dismantle that horse and that rider in your life. Verse 2, the Lord is my, that was verse 1. Verse 2, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Remember, that means deliverance. This is my God. I will. You see, your will. You do it with your will, not because you feel like it. I will praise him, my Father's God. I will extol him. I want to just share with you after Frank died. I've always wanted to go to church since I became a Christian. Before I went because it's what you did on Sunday, and the kids needed to go. But after I became a Christian, I wanted to go. I wanted to worship. And when Frank died, I did not want to go. And I had to literally make myself go. I would get up on Sunday morning and I would say, I will go to church and I will worship. And I'd get dressed and put my makeup on and get in the car and I'd say, I will go, I will worship. And I would sit there and Lord, I am going to praise you. And I would do that. But it was all will. And that went on, I don't remember now, I wish I'd written it down. But one Sunday morning I got up, got ready to go, was in the car and all of a sudden I thought, praise the Lord, it's over. I no longer have to make myself go. So you may come to a stage in your life where you will have to say, I will go, I will worship. God has said in Hebrews 10, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. God wants us together in corporate worship. No matter what the heartache, no matter what the trial, He wants you there in corporate worship to praise the Lord in song, and in spirit, and in truth, through the Word. And it's a privilege for us to do that. And it'll do something for you in your inner person that nothing else can do. So in verse 2, I will praise Him, my Father's God. I will extol Him. Verse 3, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is His name. Verse 6, Thy right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. Verse 7, and in the greatness of Thine excellence, Thou dost overthrow those who rise up against Thee. Verse 11, who is like Thee among the gods, O Lord? Who is like Thee, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? Verse 13, in Thy loving kindness Thou hast led the people whom Thou hast redeemed. In Thy strength Thou hast guided them to Thy holy habitation. Verse 18, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. Let's say that. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Say it again. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Verse 21, and Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. And then down in verse 26, God said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight and give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer, Jehovah Rapha. He is our healer. 1 Chronicles 16. Chronicles comes right after Joshua, you know, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings, and then you come to Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 16. And as you're reading in the scriptures or just looking up something, you're going to find passages which give you attributes of God. And that's the time to just pause and say, Lord, I praise you. Just take those words. I praise you because you are. And this will increasingly give you a vocabulary to praise God. And so this, they had brought the ark and placed it inside the tent now in verse 1. That gives you the setting. And in verse 4, you see that David appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. And you have in verse 5 the musical instruments and the harps and the lyres and the loud sounding cymbals. I love orchestration. We have an orchestra, and it doesn't play every Sunday, but it does sometime. And I love when the violins and the trumpets. And do you have orchestration and interest at Christmas time? I love it. I love the crescendo of it, and I just love it. And it's just very worshipful to me. Verse 8, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. You're going to find a lot of acts of service involved in these words of praise, which is amazing to me. You see, after there's praise, there will be the outflow of that in the acts of service. And you see this all intertwined in with who God is, which to me is so neat. And in verse 9, sing to the Lord, sing praises to Him, speak of all His wonders. 10, glory in His holy name, let the heart, okay, who should seek God? Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Verse 11, seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face when continually. So it's continually that we're to do this. Verse 12, remember His wonderful deeds which He has done, His marvels and His judgments from His mouth. Verse 14, why? Because he is Lord our God. His judgments are on all the earth. Verse 23, sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. You see, when you're to do it from day to day, so it's just not on Sunday. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. 25, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. Verse 27, splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. So it's due his name. His name is due it. In 21, we're told to ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in holy array with sins confessed. Verse 31, let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. He reigns. The sovereign reigning Lord of the universe. He is orchestrating events. God is orchestrating all events for Jesus to return. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, 34, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. In 36, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. Amen. Let's go over to Psalm 18, and we'll walk through some of the Psalms. And you could just, you know, make a study of the, you know, if you wanted to make a study of the Psalms from now until Christmas and just read them, study them. Look at the verbs. When you're studying Scripture, look at the verbs. The verbs are always very powerful. Will make a real imprint on your life. Psalm 18, the first three verses. And here's David, who had a heart after God. Not perfect. I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. The horn of my salvation is a metaphor which refers to God's power. All right. My shield and the horn of my salvation and my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised and I am saved from my enemies. You're going to see that repeatedly in the scriptures. Let's go over to Psalm 91. Since we read that last night, I thought I would just go through and use that as also praise to God because it's such a powerful, packed psalm. And I would encourage memory of that, to memorize that psalm also, and to use it daily. You could use it daily to pray for your family. If you're in a hard place, use it daily. I think I'll just use this. I won't read it. I'm going to use it as praise to God as I go through. So I'll just move through it. Father, I praise you that I can dwell in the shelter of the Most High, that we can abide in the shadow, in your shadow, Father, because you are Almighty. I thank you, Father, I can say you are my refuge. You are our refuge. You are our fortress. You are my God. You are the one whom I trust. Thank you. You are the one who delivers from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. Thank you. You cover with your pinions, and it's under your wings that I can seek refuge. It is your faithfulness, Father, that is a shield and a bulwark. Thank you that I do not need to be afraid of terror by night or of the arrow that flies by day or the pestilence that stalks in darkness or the destruction that lays waste at noon. And even though 1,000 may fall and 10,000 at your right hand, it will not approach me, Lord. I can look on you, Lord, with my eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Thank you that you are my Lord and you are my refuge. You are my most high God. You are my dwelling place, and no evil will befall me, nor will any plague come near my tent. Thank you, Lord, that your angels will have charge concerning me. You will guard me in all my ways. You will bear me up in your hands. I will not strike my foot against a stone. And, Lord, you will enable me to tread upon the lion and the cobra and the young lion and the serpent. I will be able to trample down. Verse 14. I do love you, Lord. You will deliver me, and I thank you. You will set me securely on high because I know your name. I call on you, Lord, and you will answer me. You will be with me in this trouble, in this distress. You will rescue me. I will honor you, Father. And with a long life, you will satisfy me, and I will behold your deliverance. Is that not powerful? That is powerful. Psalm 92, 1 and 2. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to thy name, O Most High, to declare thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness by night. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. That's how we're to do it. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our lives from the pit, who crowns us with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies our years with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. Isn't that appropriate here? Verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. Verse 17, but the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. Verse 19, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. 21, bless the Lord, all you, his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places. Where are we to do it? In all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What can we respond but to bless him and praise him? Psalm 136. And of course, I'm skipping over many jewels and gems of who God is. So just keep an eye out for God, who he is in the scripture, and then pause whatever you're doing at the time you're in the scriptures. Just take a few moments and praise him for who he is. As you look at Psalm 136, you have 26 verses, and in every verse it says, for his loving kindness is everlasting, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And you know, sometimes when you're in the bottom of the well and there's no rope, no ladder up out of the well, it's hard to believe that his loving kindness is everlasting. But God's character does not change, no matter what you and I are going through. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as we begin to put his concepts of who he is, the words of his character into our head, and then they'll seep down into our heart and our lifestyle, we'll be able to say, the Lord reigns, his sovereignty reigns, his majestic glory is present, his glory is everywhere. I do not see your glory in this, Father, because the pain is so great, but your glory is present. And as I come in line and submit under your authority and seek your glory in this hard place, you will give me the path out. The circumstances may not change, but the inward person will change so that you will be able to endure. And the fragrance that will come from that will be like the crushed grape. And you know how they get the grapes crushed. They trample them underfoot. And so sometimes we're feeling like God has done this to us. But what will come forth is the beauty of the perfume of the Lord Jesus Christ's character in and through us, and it will flow out to others. And I truly believe that we as women of God will never be of much service to the Lord until there has been a crushing. Because it's during that time of crushing that we say, all right, Lord, your way and not my way. And until we come to that point, the fragrance and the beauty of the Lord cannot flow from our lives. Psalm 136, verse 1, give thanks. So what are we to do? Give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Verse 2, give thanks to the Lord, give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And so forth, on through there. Verse 3, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And then all the way through, that's repeated in every verse, his loving kindness is everlasting. Let's go over to Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war. Here's David again. And my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress. You see how personal it is. My stronghold, my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge. And then Psalm 145. I would encourage a study of this. If we had time, in fact, if we had time this morning and it would have been a little less formal this morning, I would have given you an assignment and had you go through and see how many characteristics of God you can find in here. I'm not going to tell you how many. But this is a marvelous psalm, and it's just one right after another of who God is. Powerful, powerful psalm. And you see six times in there where the psalmist says, I will, I will, I will, I will. So we do it with our will, not because we feel like it. And we do it because he is worthy. He is the one to be exalted. He is the great and high God. So just a few of his attributes, his greatness, his works, his power, His majesty, His righteousness, His dominion, and so forth on through it. From Psalm 146 through the end to 150, you have 36 times in there we're told to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord 36 times. And 38 times it says praise the Lord, and 36 times it's a command. From Psalm 146 to 150. Let's jump over to the New Testament now, and we see even Jesus praised the Father in Matthew 11, 25. It's Matthew 11, not Matthew 22. It's Matthew 11, 25. And it's repeated again over in Luke 10, 21. Matthew 11, 25. Jesus said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligence and did reveal them to the babes. Isn't that encouraging? So it's not the high and mighty. It's not the educated and the all-wise. It's to we who are children that God reveals these things. Romans 11, 33 to 36. In verse 33, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. Verse 36, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. 1 Timothy 1:17. You'll recognize this. Timothy is at the end of the T's. You got Thessalonians, the longest one, then Timothy, and then Titus is the shortest T, so Thessalonians. That comes after Gep, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, 1 Timothy 1:17. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. Doxology. Isn't that neat? Jude 24 and 25. The end of that little book of Jude. Jude's right before Revelation. Only one chapter. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty and dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Amen? Amen. Revelation 4, 8 to 11. In fact, I don't think I'll go. Let's jump over to Revelation 19. Whoops. Verse 3. Hallelujah. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. Verse 4. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sits on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 5, and a voice came from the throne saying, Give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear him, who reverence him, the small and the great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Verse 7, let us rejoice and be glad, and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Verse 9, and he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true words of God. And verse 10, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it is called Faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges. And wages war. And verse 13, and he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. John 1, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and he became flesh and dwelt among us, and we behold his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And in verse 16, and on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written,
sorry, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As Isaiah fell down before him and said, "Oh God, I am a man of unclean lips," we can look up and say, "The Lord reigns. He is holy. He is holy. He is holy." So God deserves our utmost for His highest. I have included in your little packet a doctrinal affirmation. This is like the Apostles' Creed or like the Nicene Creed. It's too bad our church has, churches have, oh, thank you, thank you. She gives me two, one for each eye. Thank you. Ruin some makeup. But you know, that's good. If worshiping God brings tears to your eyes, that's a sign of, you don't have to have tears to worship God, but I'm glad, because if it didn't touch me, it wouldn't mean anything. So praise the Lord. What this is, it's just scripture after scripture after scripture stating who God is and what He's done. And I don't know whether your church does that or not, but it's wonderful. That's why I included it in here. So if you desire to, you can take this at any time and read it daily out loud to the Lord. And I'd like us to stand and just read this to the Lord, and we'll close with this. This is who God is. This is what He's done. It's all scripture. I recognize that there's only one true and living God, who exists as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that He is worthy of all honor and praise and worship as the Creator, Sustainer, and beginning and end of all things. I recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. I believe that He came to destroy the works of Satan, that He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public display of them, having triumphed over them by the cross. I believe that God has proven His love for me, because while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. I believe that He delivered me from the domain of darkness and transferred me to His kingdom, and in Him I have redemption. Child of God, and that I am seated with Christ in the heavenlies. I believe that I was saved by the grace of God through faith, that it was a gift and not the result of any works on my part. I choose to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. I put no confidence in the flesh, for the weapons of my warfare are not of the flesh. I put on the whole armor of God, and I resolve to stand firm in my faith and resist the evil one. I believe that Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth, and that He is the head over all rule and authority. I believe that Satan and his demons are subject to me in Christ, because I am a member of Christ's body. I therefore obey the command to resist the devil, and I command him in the name of Christ to leave my presence. I believe that apart from Christ, I can do nothing, so I declare my dependence on Him. I choose to abide in Christ in order to bear much fruit and glorify the Lord. I announce to Satan that Jesus is my Lord, and I reject any counterfeit gifts or works of Satan in my life. I believe that the truth will set me free, and that walking in the light is the only path of fellowship. Therefore, I stand against Satan's deception by taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I declare that the Bible is the only authoritative standard. I choose to speak the truth in love. I choose to present my body as an instrument of righteousness, a living and holy sacrifice. And I renew my mind by the living Word of God, in order that I may prove that the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. I accept you, Father and Father, to fill me with your Holy Spirit, to lead me into all truth, and to empower my life so that I may live above sin and not carry out the desires of the flesh. I crucify the flesh and choose to walk by the Spirit. I renounce all selfish goals and choose the ultimate goal of love. I choose to obey the greatest commandment, to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and mind, and to love my neighbor as myself.